Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I am your host, Sydney Chandler Monet, and today I have Temple Lester with me, a whole STEM goddess. So hello, Temple.
Hi, Sydney. I was muted. Hi, Sydney. I'm so excited to be on here today and talking to you. This is going to be super fun and exciting.
I'm so excited, you guys. The energy that is radiating through the screen right now. So I can already tell that this is going to be a great interview. She's going to be talking to us about her passion for STEM and how she's getting other kids into it. She's a gifted, award-winning 14-year-old creator of STEM Girl Swag and the inventor of the STEM Swag Box. She's an entrepreneur, public speaker, and STEM advocate. She expressed an interest in science at a very young age. In third grade, she launched www.justtemple.com, a website dedicated to science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM. Temple provides free workshops, seminars, and motivational talks to get youth involved in STEM. Through her advocacy, she has exposed over 100,000 people to STEM. The STEM Swag Box was created by Temple in 2019 to make STEM education fun. Her science kit is exploding with hands-on experiments. It's the coolest science kit ever, and Temple's GoFundMe campaign has raised over $5,000 to provide science kits to youth and supplies for her workshops. She's dedicated to exposing underrepresented youth to STEM and filling the gap. She is captivated by stars, planets, and galaxies. Temple wants to be an astrophysicist so that she can understand the universe and our place in it.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm so impressed by it. I always had kind of a niche for science myself. I'm more into biology and like life science. The stars and everything do interest me as well. So it's fun to have like a conversation and bring out like people who actually have an interest in it. It's just like, oh yeah, the stars are cool. But have actually talked to someone who knows more about it, has like facts of it, and is passionate to learn more about them. I'm excited to learn more about what you think our place in our planet is. And I'm just so excited to get into it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to get into it too. So let's go.
At what age did you know you wanted to do this, and how did you get involved?
I've always been a scientist. It's just always kind of been my thing, just the thing that goes along with me, a hobby. It started out as I always used to do science kits at home. I made my dad change his man cave, our basement, into my science lab where I could do my experiments. At my grandma's house, I used to wash rocks from her driveway. And that's just what I would do when I was over there. I spent a lot of time over there in summers. So I washed rocks. I just always had an interest in science and STEM because that is what I excelled at. I excelled at math and science in school, and I still do. I just recently completed geometry, honors geometry, in the eighth grade, which is actually a 10th grade course.
I just completed that class because yeah. I just my 10th grade year. Yeah.
Geometry was something. It was something. Definitely is the word to explain it.
Not my favorite, we can say.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So, what I do is kind of, you don't see a lot of scientists. We don't have a lot of science, but we do have stuff like the CDC here and all that incredible things that have to do with science and, museums that have to do with it here. So just science has always been my passion, my purpose.
That's awesome. And I'm so glad to see how you're standing in it and you're so proud of it and saying like, science is my thing and I want to share it with the people around me and I want to get other people involved. And why do you think it is important for people, especially our age, to get into science and STEM and things like that?
Well, my whole thing is about empowering girls and minorities to take an interest in it and exposing them to STEM, because there's such a gap between non-minorities and minorities in STEM, or girls and men in STEM. And I just happen to be a minority and a girl. So not seeing people that look like me doing what I want to do has always been that kind of spark that lets me say, I want to pursue, or I want to give people that look like me the opportunity to do this, or I want to expose them to it so they can know that they can do this and they can be cool and science can be fun and you don't have to be a nerd to enjoy science.
Yeah, and I think that growing statistic, and I'm always having this conversation of people like, yeah, I don't really see people like me in, you know, entrepreneur positions. I don't really see people like me that are in sports or clubs or things that they want to do. And then it fills them with false confidence. And so you being one of the people that is bringing it up, being a minority and a girl, both that struggle in like the STEM careers and like the career paths, because I don't really see many African American women in the STEM communities and STEM projects and things like that. So I'm excited to see that you are a growing statistic and that you are bringing other people, over 100,000 people into STEM. That is super impressive. And I'm so excited to see where you grow from this. And I'm excited to see how much change you can create from that.
Yeah. What you said is that lack of exposure is everything that I talk about when I go and advocate and when I go and public speak to people. It's exposing them, as I said. And what I say is, if you can see it, you can be it. But if you can't see it, then you be it, is what I say. So be that first person for somebody else. That's what I say about my box. I'm going to get into my box later on. But my favorite part about my box is this photo of me on the back. And that's because if there's a little Black girl out there who has the same hair texture as me, and she sees me doing something that she wants to do, but she doesn't really see anybody that looks like her doing it, then I can be that inspiration.
That's awesome. And that quote of being, if you can see it, you can be it. If you don't see it, be it. That is so cool. And I love that. And I think I'm going to start living by that now, because, you know, being a young African-American girl in doing something like classical ballet was not made for girls like me, like years and years ago. And seeing people like Misty Copeland and like Latinx people in like the front and doing these amazing ballet pieces and performances and seeing the exposure. And there's so much change going on right now with like point shoes that are my skin color. Like
that's what I've heard about. One of my best friends, she is a ballerina. She's a ballet dancer. She's Puerto Rican too, so she's part of that Latinx community. But she sends me a lot of ballet stuff and like what's happening with them. Like, oh, okay. And so I see that point shoes are coming out in darker skin tones, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so incredible, because you don't see it. It's starting to happen and you're like, wow.
Yeah. And it's like really cool to see, especially in our time. And I get to grow up and tell my kids, maybe like when I was 16 years old, people didn't really care to see people like me on stage, and that to see the diversity happening and the change happening at my age is so cool to see. And I'm so excited to live in the present now, and I'll be able to talk about it as I get older, because we are the change that needs to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say are some of the stereotypes that come with STEM, especially young African-American girls in it?
Well, I say there are many stereotypes. People always kind of ask me, well, what have you faced in it? So I say, for me personally, I face different things that have to do with my age, because I am a young person, and you don't really see young people advocating or being entrepreneurs or going out in public speaking. You see adults doing that. And sometimes you don't even see minority adults, or you see women not as much as you do other people. So I grew up watching TED Talks, and I see all these people, and I don't really see people that look like me doing it. And so that's what I say comes with the stereotypical part. It's just what you see is what you think is the stereotype. And if you don't see something that's different from how a lot of everything is in that one particular thing, you think that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. In school, we were talking about like one story. If you guys know the book, The Other Westmore, it's about these two Black men, and they have the same name, Westmore. Mm-hmm. And they're both from Maryland. One stayed around the Baltimore area, and the other one was born here. He stayed till he was like a young age, and then he ended up in like Bronx, New York, and then he became this sensation author. And the other one ended up being like incarcerated for his whole life. And it's this narrative that, what was that line at the end of the book? It was like, the tragedy is that my story could have been his, and I can't remember it right now, but it was this beautiful story about how different our lives can be based on like where we start and where we are. And this is the TED Talk, right? I'm going all over the place, but the TED Talk. I was watching this. It was like the side effects of only having one story. The Danger of a Single Story by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. And she talks about this narrative where people only received one story or one perception of a group or person or culture or things like that. And it leads people to be, you know, prejudiced. And so she's very well educated, very well spoken. And she, when she went to college, she was raised in South Africa, I believe. And when she came to the US to go to college, her roommate who was white, she thought that, you know, she was like, oh, you're so well spoken. Like, you're so proper. Like, I didn't think that, you know, people from Africa could be, you know, so educated. And so that was like the danger of having one story. So I think that's really powerful to see how something as big as like cultures and things like that can lead to something like STEM and like, oh, STEM is just this strict area. Only men can do it. Only white people can do it. And how the narrative changes and how we're not sticking to one single story is changing us in so many ways. And again, being here to experience it is the coolest thing ever. And I'm glad that you're doing your part in the community to make that change happen.
Well, thank you. And absolutely about what you're talking about with the tech. I just looked it up when you were saying it. So I have it on my computer. I'm going to watch it later. But what you're saying with from what they say about Black people majority or minorities majority not being well-spoken. And a lot of white people saying that to us. I've gotten that a few times. I know my parents have gotten that because they all expect us to talk one way, whether we're Hispanic and they expect us to have more of a Latin accent, or if we're Black and they expect us to have more of a specific type of dialect. It's that's one of the stereotypes that I hear most often. That's one that I understand that some people, like most of the people that say they don't understand how offensive that can be at points. But yeah, everything you said with the TED Talk is absolutely correct. I'm going to have to go and watch that later.
Yeah, the whole like stereotypical thing, like people coming up to me, Sydney, you're so proper. You always sit up straight. You always cross your legs and like, you don't like use slang words. And I'm like, am I not like, is it because I'm like, you know, Black? Do I have to, you know, like, lean back? Do I have to, you know, wear a certain kind of clothes, like listen to certain kind of music? And so it always like filled me with like lower self-esteem. I'm like, am I less Black because I don't listen to as much rap music? Am I less Black because I don't wear certain kinds of clothes or I don't speak a certain kind of way? And people, you know, almost chuckle at me and laugh at me like, oh, Sydney just talks so proper, she's so elegant. And I'm like, thank you so much, but also I don't know what you mean by that. I mean, is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? So again, the change that's happening is awesome, and that we're able to set a new narrative and people can be who they want to be. You know, Hispanic people are not any less Hispanic if they don't know how to speak their own native language, like Spanish or Portuguese or something like that. And, you know, in our Asian communities, people are not less Asian because, you know, they don't practice certain things in their culture. Maybe that's just not what they're around. So, you know, I can go on a whole tangent about that, but
me too. I wasn't gonna go that far. I was gonna kind of keep it to the basis of the podcast, but I can
that's the beauty of having this podcast, because I'm allowed to talk about anything and everything. And so if we want to go a tangent about this topic, we totally can, but I want to focus it back on you and your STEM narrative right after this break.
Hello, this is Vanetta Rogers. Join me on Wednesday at 5 p.m. for my new podcast, Legacy Game Changers. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., join me and we'll talk about finance, education, and wealth building for you and your family to leave a legacy for your loved ones. Once again, that's Legacy Game Changers, Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Hey, this is Sydney Trailer-Lone, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that'll be broadcasting on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that'll talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table, where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, I'm here with Temple Lester, and we're just talking about the changing of narratives and how her position in STEM has uplifted people our age. So you have STEM swag boxes that you created. So What are those and how did you use them to, you know, drag more attention towards STEM and the importance of it?
Well, STEM Swag Box is the coolest science kit ever. It's full of 7 fun exploding experiments for all ages. I have my favorites in here. I opened up the box. I have my favorites like the plant seed ball right here, which is made out of paper, water, seeds, all mixed up. I've made them myself on my Instagram, which is where I'm most active at. It's at Just Temple. But this is STEM Swag Box, coolest science kit ever. And when I first created the box in holiday season of 2019, I also created a GoFundMe to donate my boxes to kids in my community or youth in my community who may not have access to science in their own homes. So I raised $5,000 and I donated them. And one of my most fond memories of this box, and it was about a month before COVID hit, I got to go to a school in my community, an elementary school, and donate the boxes to a class. And that was really one of the sweetest, best, most sincere, incredible moments I've ever had. I think it's that moment that will stay for me. It's not the moment that I'm trying to just do anything to kind of advance, but just to give. So that's the box.
That is so cool. I wish I was able to articulate and, you know, bring out a box and say, here's a bunch of STEM activities, have fun. So, you know, that is so awesome that you're doing that. And you're so well-spoken. I'm like sitting here in awe. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, she's so smart. Black excellence, everyone. So it is so interesting to see how many people are being so active in their communities, especially in the underserved communities, because it is those that we need to pay the most attention to, because they're like, we need to get all these kids exposed. We need to do this and that, but people aren't starting at the basis and going to, you know, the communities that need the most help. And then those same communities bring out bad, you know, influences. And like, instead of people becoming doctors and lawyers or whatever else that they want to be, they're stuck in their communities, not being able to grow much at all because they're not exposed to that kind of thing. Going to that whole, back to that whole thing about representation and seeing people that look like us in different career paths is crazy important. So going back to starting in those underserved communities, I think is super important. And you doing that, I think, is awesome. And I've interviewed many people that are doing the same. So again, the change is coming, you guys.
Change is coming. But yes, absolutely, about the communities that most of them being minority communities that don't have the access to, or don't have the exposure, that don't have, I know there were different things that came out during the pandemic where a lot of I don't know how to explain it, but a lot of them didn't have computers to do online school. And we're sitting there, we're listening to who they give scholarships to. And sometimes it's not the people that really deserve them. And those people are people that I try to give my boxes to, that I give my boxes to when I did the GoFundMe, or when I do a group and I send 20 boxes just for them to do it and just for them to have access to it, because then they really learn. That's what the exposure is about not just knowing what you see on TV, but also seeing that I can do so many different things in STEM, or I can do so many different things that I don't really get to see.
Exactly. And starting in those underserved communities, that actually reminds me of another TikTok that I can remind you of. I'm not going to sit and try and look for it right now because it's deeper in my files, but that one was talking about how he was exposed to bad things in his community, and it like, they weren't getting the same amount of attention. They're like, we need to start uplifting like the younger generation. And, you know, at some schools, there's like one textbook for 3 students. Like, we're not giving them the same attention that we would give other communities. And so bringing that change and serving those underserved communities, I think, is super important. And you're doing that amazingly. And I'm so excited to see where you go from it.
Thank you.
So in 2017, you won the Georgia Science Teachers Association STEM Talk competition. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what is it, and how did you win, and what opportunities sprung up for you afterwards?
Well, the STEM Talk competition was kind of like a TED Talk, as we've been on the topic of TED Talks, but it was like a TED Talk to talk about your kind of STEM experience. So when I'm talking about my STEM experience, I'm talking about, I'm going to go back and then I'll come back to what I talked about. But my PE health teacher, because they're all science teachers kind of thing, told me about the opportunity, and I didn't want to do it at all. I was like, no. And I didn't tell my mom, but my mom had found out from my teacher. And my mom was like, you're going to do it. So I didn't say no to my mom. I was like, okay, sure. Okay. But then we found a story to tell. And the story is about my time at a science summer camp when I was 8 years old, the summer before I created my company, Just Temple. And this was the inspiration for that. So I went to a science summer camp and I was the only girl and one of few minorities in my class. And when I walked in, the camp counselors, they didn't realize I was a girl until they saw me. They're like, oh, you're a girl. And they're like, oh, okay, so you'll be our little princess. So I thought about that throughout the day. I went home. I told my mom, they call me a princess and I don't want to be a princess. I want to be a scientist. And so I went back there the next day and I told them, hey, I don't want to be a princess. I want to be a scientist just like all the boys here. And that led me to learning about the gap between men and women in STEM. And I told this story. And I told this story for my video for the STEM talk, and I ended up winning as a fifth grader along with two other 12th graders. So I was heading to middle school and they were heading to university, which was pretty scary. And so we had to go to Athens, and at Athens, I spoke to over 2,500 science teachers from across my state of Georgia. And I got a standing ovation, and it was my first time really public speaking about my journey. So that's just the start of my public speaking journey and my advocacy journey.
Wow, that is so cool. I'm so proud of you. I'm already so captivated by the story and that little sliver of it from it. And 2,500, no, oh my goodness. And in fifth grade, wow. That is amazing. And I'm so impressed.
But the thing is about the public speaking part is that I always grew up kind of speaking to people and doing things. Both my parents are entrepreneurs. So I grew up around that. And so when I was young, mm-hmm. I would go on stage with my mom just to say hi in front of thousands and thousands and hundreds of people. So it's always just kind of been a part of me. I've never been scared to go on stage and share my story.
That must help, because I don't really do that. My parents, we've never been in a situation where I'd had to stand up in front of thousands and thousands of people. The largest group I probably ever talked in front of was my freshman class when I was trying to run for student council. That was terrifying. So I can only imagine 250,000 people. Yeah. So that is so cool how you're able to get that opportunity. And I'm so captivated by your story and you saying that you don't want to be a princess, that you would be a scientist. It starts from there. It starts with comments like that, that already segregates you as a minority and a young girl into being like, oh, she's a girl. Like, we have to be a little more dainty, a little more careful with her. Like, let's not, you know, push her as much as we're going to push the boys. That already separates the narrative and it's not fair. And you coming out and being strong and being like, no, like you can push me more. You can do the same. Like you can take me to that place that you're taking the young boys. And so I'm so proud of you for that, because who knows where you would have been without, you know, doing something as simple as that and the decisions that we make from that. Mm-hmm. I'm just so proud of how far you've come. And like, I'm so impressed by your work ethic and what you've done in the community and how you're so proud of it and how you're so strong in it. I'm blown away.
Thank you.
So you were also selected out of 38,000 Girl Scouts in Metro Atlanta to deliver the keynote speech at their second century luncheon. That is so impressive. So what did you talk about?
Well, I talked about that story and I told them about the summer camp story. I also told them about what I do and who I am and that I speak to people and that I advocate. And I think that year it was 2018. Yeah, that year I I also created my merch, which is STEM Girl Swag, and my movement, STEM Girl Swag, which is a movement to encourage girls and to encourage minorities to take an interest in STEM and show them that STEM can be cool. And it's not about wearing glasses or having your suspenders. You can have swag. You can know about the latest fashion. You can know about all this stuff, because I know about all this stuff. I love everything that's pop culture. And so that's kind of what it was. So STEM Girl Swag. So I talked to them about that. And then I got to moderate a panel of four incredible women: Carrie Hilson, the singer, incredible; Jovita Moore, who is this, she's a news anchor in Atlanta; Ann Kramer, she is like the CFO or ex-CFO of Coca-Cola. I've ran into her so many times speaking and winning awards. And then one other person, another news anchor, Francesca, from one of the other channels. So that's what the Second Century Legend was about.
That's awesome. And again, I'm so proud of you and how you're able to speak in front of so many people with ease and just the elegance that you carry with yourself. I hope to obtain that myself one day, and I'm so excited to see how much you grow.
Thank you.
So I think I'm going to have two more questions for you before we wrap this up, and then we'll get into my rapid fire questions. So when you're not being a super awesome scientist and you're not running the world with your Black girl power, what do you usually do to end your day?
As I said, I'm a big pop culture person. I love everything celebrity or everything that's being talked about. So watching TV, I'm a big film nerd. It's called a cinephile. I'm a cinephile. I love, love, love movies. Like, that's my pastime, and I'll talk to anybody about them. And music and movies are my things. They just, and I stay up late at night because I'm a night owl, as people say. So that's what I do to kind of end my day. I watch my television, maybe binge a show, watch a movie. And then I listen to my music. I kind of see what's new, or I listen to the same old albums, which a lot of people do. And I talk to my family and my parents. I'm an only child, so I talk to my parents and I hang out with my dog. And that's it.
Awesome. So now we're going to get into these rapid fire questions. So what is your favorite planet?
Neptune, right here. I keep it close to me on my wrist. I have my planets on my wrist, but I keep Neptune the closest to me.
That's awesome. My favorite is Venus. I'm not sure why, but I just like Venus. But since I'm just learning that you love movies, what would your favorite movie be?
Oh my, okay. So I have my top four, which is Ocean's 8, Coco, Ready Player One, and Catch Me If You Can.
Coco is beautiful. Okay. Ready Player One was probably the movie that got me into sci-fi, because like before that I was like, sci-fi is kind of weird. Ready Player One was a cool movie. Ready and Player so One. That's awesome. We'll have to have a movie theater marathon.
Yeah.
Do you like Marvel?
Absolutely. Marvel. if those, like, I'm just saying my four favorite individual movies, but Marvel movies are my top anything, Marvel everything. So I'm going to LA this summer, and I'm like, if you guys don't take me to Disneyland to go to Avengers Campus, I'm not going. So Marvel is my favorite thing ever.
My friends are trying to get me into it because I was falling behind. They're like, did you watch WandaVision? I was like, not yet. And they're
I don't like people that are just getting into it because of WandaVision. I'm like, I go way back.
No, I liked it before. But I get what you mean.
It was like when I first saw my first Marvel movie in theaters, and I saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So you guys, stop it with
that. Was my first movie stuff.
Go and watch your Marvel movies from Iron Man, or like if you want to watch it in timeline order, which is the best way to watch it, watch Captain America the First Avenger.
That one was good. If you could meet someone that you look up to, dead or alive, who would it be?
I always talk about this, and these aren't people that I look up to. They're just like kind of people I want to meet, and it's Johnny Depp and Robert De Niro. Like, I'm like, if I have to meet two celebrities before I die, let me meet Johnny Depp and Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro, because I love mob movies, and he's like just the top mobster ever. And then Johnny Depp, because he's my favorite actor. He's like my favorite celebrity, actually. But just him, because he's amazing. And then Oprah and Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm. Sneakers or heels?
Sneakers. I'm sneakerhead. I love me a pair of Jordans. Jordans and Converse are my favorite shoes. I have a good expensive collection, but I am lucky because I can still wear a 7 youth, so I can get me a little cheaper and a little bit more styly and colorful.
Good for you, because I always try to find, I was 7.5 and then I like show up and it's always too late. There I was like, oh, we got rid. I was like, great. Anyways, that wraps up all my rapid fire questions. Two more things before we leave. How can my listeners reach you, and what is something that you would like to leave with us today?
Well, you can find me on my social media. All my social media is Just Temple, JustTemple. Come and DM me. My website is justtemple.com. You can learn all about this. You can learn about the box, my STEM Girl swag merch, everything. Instagram is where I'm most active. Learn about what I'm kind of doing. I have my fun. You can see me and my friends or see me in my sneakers. You can also see what type of things I'm doing. Like, I'm doing a pitch competition tomorrow. And one thing I would like to leave with you all, again, I said it before, for that if you see it, you can be it, but if you can't see it, then you be it. You be that person. And also keep positivity around you. That's how you succeed.
I'm blown away. Oh my goodness. And all my stars, you're so amazing, Temple. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope my listeners are inspired as I am. I am so motivated to get out there and just be active in my community now. And again, I'm so impressed with your work, and I can't wait to see where you go. And we'll have to have that movie marathon sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you to my listeners, and thank you, Temple. And this is Perfect Timing.